This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken. We are back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. Very excited today because we have Marbu Brown, who is the author of Blueprint for Customer Obsession. And I love the idea of customer obsession. And this guy knows just a little bit about the customer service and experience world because he was head of customer experience for consumer banking for JP Morgan Chase. He ran the worldwide defect elimination program over at Amazon, and he was responsible for customer experience measurement in the support centers over at Microsoft, and he did a lot more with all of those companies, but those are just a few of the highlights. Now, before we get into this interview, a couple of quick announcements, and you know what they are if you've heard the show. We are on every social channel, at least I am, and if you've got a question or a problem, or if you've got a story that you want to share, please be sure to go to any of the social channels. If it is a question, use the hashtag AskShep, and I'll be sure to answer the question there on this show, in my newsletter, or on my TV show, Be Amazing or Go Home, which can be found on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Roku, and a number of other places, including now you can get it by just going to beamazing.tv. That's beamazing.tv. All right, let's jump into the interview. Marbu, welcome to the show.
And Shep, I really appreciate having the opportunity to have this discussion with you this afternoon. I'm looking to just a stimulating time.
It's going to be great. And I just want you to know, I had no idea who you were. I had never even heard about you. I was looking for great books to read and review. And every year I do a top 10 list of my favorite books I read all year. Your book is just out now. I wish I would have read this earlier in the year because I am excited about it. Blueprint for Customer Obsession. And with a background of the companies that you've worked with, I can only imagine how great it's going to be. So I can't wait to read my copy. But like I said, it's just coming out. Actually, as we do this interview, it's not even out yet. By the time you hear this interview, you can go to Amazon.com and get your book today. How's that for a plug?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, I've given a little bit of background on who you are. Do you want to add to that, or can we jump right into talking about the book?
Well, we can absolutely jump right into talking about the book, and we can intersperse a little bit more about me as we go along. But, you know, Shep, I'm super excited about Blueprint for Customer Obsession because, look, Amazon really kind of popularized this phrase about customer obsession. And with their success, it has become one of those phrases that people use a lot, but it's not clear that everybody's speaking the same language when they use that expression. And so one of the things that we've done with Blueprint for Customer Obsession is to identify very clearly 8 hallmarks that separate customer-obsessed companies from others that might be customer-centric or customer-focused, if you will. And we have like 10 companies that we use to illustrate those hallmarks. So I'm very excited because I believe that as people read this, it will become super clear to them what makes the difference.
Well, I just, can you, in a short 1 or 2, 3 sentences, tell us the difference between a company that says, hey, we are totally customer focused versus, hey, we are customer obsessed? Because you said there's a difference. I'd love to just kind of start there.
There is a difference. And look, When you think about a company that's customer obsessed, one of the things that they wind up doing, they do things that are counterintuitive from the perspective of their peers. And some of those companies might, you know, deliver very strong customer experiences, but they don't go to the extremes that some of these other companies do, right? You know, I'm reminded of an account that I read about a lady who was returning a Christmas tree in January at Costco because she said the Christmas tree was dead. Okay.
In January.
Well,
and about that time, it probably is close to dead. If you bought it any time in December and kept it up for a couple of weeks, we're starting to see the needles go dry.
Now, most companies wouldn't take that tree back, but Costco did. And one of the things that Costco is known for is pretty much its kind of extreme return policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, in retail, returns is a big deal. People are always trying to minimize returns costs. And some would look at the Costco return policy, their competitors, and scratch their heads and say, like, why'd they do that, right? But that's an example of customer obsession because they will take those back, right? And customers will shop with total confidence.
Right.
Right. And what's more is that sometimes a customer might think, I'm going to go buy this thing somewhere else. Okay. But they'll stop and say, hey, no way. Maybe let me go buy it at Costco because I know if I have a problem with it, I can return it. Now, maybe very small percentage of those people actually have problems with those things because they're going for stuff that's high quality that, you know, probably almost never needs to be returned.
Yeah.
But because people have that extra level of confidence, you know, they'll go in and buy it there instead of buying it somewhere else. So that's an example of what customer obsession looks like. Right.
Where the average company would say, it's January. You bought this thing a month ago. Christmas was over a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. How can you bring it back? And I love that example. And I tell you, companies like Costco, Nordstrom, and a few others have made arrangements with their suppliers and their vendors and, you know, where they buy their product from with their merchandise, with the idea that, hey, guys, we're partners here. So you better give us something good that doesn't need to be returned so that the return is minimal. Now, the other thing that Costco has that other companies don't is that they have a membership model. So you don't get the random person coming in just to buy and exchange. No, they're committed to coming to Costco to begin with, which that's a whole nother conversation is to talk about this membership discussion. But I love the idea of people paying for the privilege to do business with the company. And Amazon, same thing with Amazon Prime. Not everybody has to be a Prime member. Going to Costco, everybody has to be a member of Costco.
That's right. But well, think about it. Costco has over 100 million paid memberships. And their renewal rates are over 90%.
That's okay. Yep.
So the thing about, I'll tell you, one of the things that you'll find about customer obsessed companies is they have these, you know, policies that are extremely in favor of the customer and makes other people scratch their heads, but their business results are ridiculous. Yep. Right. And so, you know, the two things kind of go with each other. Right. Look, I'll give you another example. Amazon and customer reviews. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, Costco is going to wind up in this example too, because I used to buy Bob's Red Mill steel cut oats at Costco. Still do. But anyway, one time we're trying to get it and we couldn't get it. And they had like this very large, container of it. And it was $7.99, you know? And so I figured, okay, well, maybe I should just go buy this on Amazon. So I looked on Amazon and I saw the Bob's Red Mill steel cut oats for $17.99. I thought to myself, wow.
$10 difference.
Yeah. I thought that must be a bigger container, you know? And I'm thinking, is it bigger? Is it the same one that I usually buy? So I was trying to figure this out. And I thought, why don't I just look at the reviews? Okay. So I looked at the reviews. First review says, don't buy this at Amazon. You can buy the same thing at Costco for $7.99.
Okay.
Now, most companies would take that review down. Right?
Right.
But when you're customer obsessed, you leave it up there because it helps the customer to make the right decision. Right? And so the customer knows that they can trust you when they come to you and buy something from you, they know they're getting a good deal, right? And you know, having been on the inside at Amazon before, I know that the category manager who has to deal with having that review up there is also, you know, figuring out, well, how can I sell it for $7.99? How can I sell it for $6.99? Right? So, you know, Jeff Bezos has a saying where he's, you know, he says, look, I can't imagine a time when customers are going to ask for higher prices and less selection, right? And so, you know, looking at it from the customer's perspective is like, how do I give the customer more selection and better prices? Even if that means that sometimes I have to lose a sale until my people can figure out how to catch up and give the customer that better price, you know, that the customer's looking for. And I may not have that every time, but I can, you know, I can get there, right? And so that's what customer obsession does. It drives businesses to do these kinds of policies that other people will find to be counterintuitive. But then you turn around and folks say, well, when I'm searching for something, why don't I just go look for it at Amazon? Because I know that I'm going to get more selection and get better prices, right?
But in the case of this particular item, the steel-cut oats, it was less expensive to Costco. But here's what I love about Amazon, and this is just going to echo what you're saying, but it's a different scenario, is that you can find products on Amazon where Amazon says, you can find this product at a lower price. Click here, and it takes you to a number of other vendors that you can buy from. And it's like, well, you talk about confidence. Oh, my gosh. This is how confident they are. And granted, I love that the transparency, not taking that review down, that once again kind of just accents the customer obsession. We don't want to, you know, represent anything less than the absolute 100% transparent truth.
Yeah. Or Zappos, for example. I mean, Zappos has like the largest, you know, selection of shoes. But if they don't have the shoes that you're looking for, they'll take you to competitor sites to help you find the shoes,
yep.
Right? Now, these kinds of things are counterintuitive. But look, I mean, like 75% of Zappos sales come from existing customers. And you know, about new customers are recommended by, you know, their existing customers,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So 40% of their new customers come from recommendations from existing customers. So, you know, you're looking at, again, these businesses are doing these extreme counterintuitive things, but their customers are not just casual consumers.
Yeah, right? I love it. You can wrap it up by saying these companies are more interested in the customer than they are the sale, which leads the customer to want to buy more. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to hit on a couple, three of your favorite. You refer to these as the hallmarks, the eight hallmarks that are coming out of your book, The Blueprint for Customer Obsession. It's a brand new book, just came out. We're talking with Marbu Brown, the author. Don't go away. We're coming right back. Hi, Shep Hyken, your customer service and experience expert. And I'm excited to tell you about my new book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. Now, this book is packed with idea after idea on how to, just as the title implies, get your customers to come back. In the book, you'll learn that repeat customers aren't always loyal customers. Now, both are great, but there's a big difference. You'll also learn about 10 reasons a customer may stop doing business with you and 3 reasons you would stop doing business with them. And one of my favorite lessons is a 6-step process for creating an I'll be back strategy. Of course, there's much, much more. You'll start getting more of your customers to say, I'll be back almost immediately. Just go to www.illbebackbook.com. Again, that's www.illbebackbook.com.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio talking with Marbu Brown about his new book, Blueprint for Customer Obsession. Now, we haven't really talked much about the book yet, but right now, I want you to share with us, let's start with, like, give us your favorite one, or if you want to lead up to it, the top 2 or 3. I'm excited to hear about the book.
So let me kind of lead into it, right? So when I think of, actually, look, one of the things that we shared just now is one of the differentiators. That customer obsessed companies bet the farm on extreme customer centric policies, right? So that's one of the differentiators. But let me tell you something else. Customer obsessed companies have deeply ingrained pervasive cultures, right? So when you look at these companies, you look at a company like Amazon. Amazon had, when I was there, it was 14 leadership principles. It's now 16 leadership principles. Okay, but those leadership principles are pervasive throughout the company, right? And people engage with those principles basically in everything that they do. Okay, when you get interviewed at Amazon, those principles play a role. When you go to a meeting at Amazon, those principles play a role. You know those principles, by heart, because you are using them all day, every day. They're part of the culture. But those principles are what actually help to make customer obsession come to life, because everybody, subscribes to those principles and they live them out. And that's how.
Are they principles or behaviors? Are these like non-negotiable? This is because I know you mentioned Zappos and Tony Hsieh, who, eventually sold the company to Amazon. He had these core principles. And he said, if somebody doesn't do one of the 10, goodbye. You're not for us. OK. And he called them principles. And it's what built his culture. I kind of thought them as core behaviors or core non-negotiables. And how likely is it that somebody can remember 10 of them, let alone 16 or 18?
Well, look, let me tell you again that, I haven't worked there for 5 years. I can still tell you what they are. I can still tell you what they are because I live them. Look, We used to have a picnic in the Seattle area, where Amazon's based, and we would have a bunch of people from different companies, come together. And I was at a picnic and one guy was asking me about the difference between Amazon, some other company, and so on. I told him about the principles and I said, if you pick a random Amazonian and you ask them about these principles, they will know them because they've lived them.
I love right? it. Mm-hmm.
So he had just met some other guy at the picnic, and the guy said he was from Amazon. So he pulls the guy over here. He says, you come over here. Can you tell me these, leadership principles? So the guy starts going, dive deep, deliver results, ownership, think big. So he's rattling these off, and then he stops the guy. He says, so how long have you worked at Amazon anyway? And the guy says, 6 weeks.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So
good hiring, great training, and get them ingrained in the culture right away.
Well, that tells you the story, but can I tell you something? Pick any one of the other companies that we, profile in the book. Zappos obviously is one of them, Southwest Airlines, Chick-fil-A. I mean, you pick any of these folks and it's the same story. You're going to find Chewy, all of these companies, right? They have these principles that are pervasive throughout the company. They're ubiquitous, right? And these principles have customer obsession embedded into them. So that's one of the really big hallmarks of these companies. I'll tell you something else. These companies know how to engage the customer personally. Okay. Now, engaging the customer personally has a bunch of pieces to what's involved there. But let me tell you one of the things these companies know how to do. They know how to give customers what they want before they know they need it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things Steve Jobs used to be able to predict what customers needed before. Like, let's sell them something they don't know they need yet, but man, they need it really, really badly.
Well, you see, because that's looking around corners and understanding, what the inherent needs of the customer are. And sometimes customers won't even articulate these needs, right? Because they might not think anybody's going to actually go out there and give it to them. But they look to give the customer what they want before they need it. And I mean, you think about some of the latest things that an iPhone can do, like you're in a car accident and it can, you know, call authorities because you were in an accident, or, you know, how the new Apple Watch has, you know, features in it that will allow people to, you know, plan for their families, right? And all of those kinds of things. I mean, like, whoever thought your watch would be telling you about stuff like that? I mean, you know, that's giving people what they want before they know they need it, right? And that's something that customer-obsessed companies are great at doing, giving customers what they want before they know they need it, right?
All right, so I want to make sure I'm tracking with you. I think we've covered three concepts. You said we covered the first one, or three principles. The first one, which we talked a lot about in the first half, you wrapped it all up nicely by giving us what that one of those hallmarks were. And that was what?
That was betting the farm on extreme customer-centric policies.
Got it. All right. And then the second one was?
Deeply ingrained, pervasive cultures.
Got it. Has to be. And this last one you just mentioned?
It was engaging customers personally.
Okay. Now, you say personally. It's impossible for Amazon to make it like I'm engaging with you personally. However, I go on Amazon, they go, welcome back, Shep. You know, the last time you were here, you looked at this. Do you still want that? Is that the kind of personalization that you're talking about?
Well, you know, when you look at that personalization from the Amazon perspective, it cuts across everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you have the occasion to deal with an Amazon customer service associate, okay, it's personal. Right. Mm-hmm. Even if you have the occasion to deal with, a chatbot, it's personal. I'll give an example of something. Right. So, you know, I was at a conference where a gentleman talked about how he had ordered a mirror from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And when the mirror arrived, it was broken. Right. So he gets on Amazon to get a hold of customer service. And, you know, he starts a chat. Right. And so initially he's you know, engaging a chatbot. And the chatbot, you know, first of all, brings up, hey, are you contacting us about this mirror that you just ordered? Okay. So it already kind of
right away it's happening.
Know, because it knew that, you know, that was a recent order. So it's yes, you know, and he goes through a certain set of things and then it switches him over to a live agent. So he can, you know, because it could do certain things, but there's some things it couldn't do. So it switches him over to a live agent. He gets the whole thing sorted out. It switches him back to the chatbot. It's all seamless, right? I mean, it's personal. It's personal for him. And he got everything that he needed, but that experience was personalized to his situation.
Right.
Right?
Somebody so personal else, doesn't mean me reaching out to you as a human to human. It can be personalization through automation, through digital. Through
absolutely
any way to make the customer feel like you know who they are and they're not just a number.
Exactly. And these companies are great at it. They're great at using technology to do it. But also when you engage with their people, right, they're great at it in those contexts too. So for what it's worth, let's say you go to Trader Joe's.
I love Trader Joe's.
Or you go to another supermarket.
Not like Whole Foods, owned by Amazon.
well, I wasn't going to say Whole Foods, but let's just pick another, your average supermarket in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say the vibe you get when you deal with an associate in Trader Joe's is different than the vibe you get when you deal with an associate in one of those other.
Most others. I would agree. They have mastered the art of making people feel incredibly well. I love that. And I mean, that's the human to human connection. And companies struggle often. They get enamored with technology and they create these digital experiences that separate them. You've got to figure out the balance and you've got to come up with ways to personalize the digital experience. We're just about out of time. One last question. You know it's coming. What's the one last nugget of wisdom that you want to share with us today?
Well, the one last nugget that I want to share is that customer obsession basically turns your customers from casual consumers into rabid fans, right? And because it does, it also generates for you extraordinary business results. And so I would challenge folks, right, that adopting customer obsession as a business strategy, you can't go wrong. People always go right by doing that. In fact, a couple of people have built funds, investment funds, off companies
that are
customer obsessed.
Yep.
And they have been able to do phenomenally well. Yeah. So
some of them outperform the market by 3 and 4 times over a period of time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
We've been looking at that research. We've had some people on the show as well. Well, Marbu, it has been a pleasure to meet you. I'm so excited that I landed. I was just looking on all the books that have come out on Amazon. I saw your book. This was just a few days ago. We picked up the phone. We reached out to you via email, via phone. And here you are. We're talking to you today. I know the book's going to be amazing. I'm ordering a copy the moment it comes out. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Hey, Shep, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk to you about it. And, you know, I hope that the listeners will go and get a copy of Blueprint for Customer Obsession.
All right. Blueprint for Customer Obsession, available by the time you're hearing this, now at Amazon. Thanks for being on the show. That wraps it up. Another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We'll be back next week with another interview. Until that time, this is Shep Hyken reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.